KQSS Miami.
It's country and more. Nila
1019.com. All right, so now you know who we are, and who is with me is Mayor Al Gameros, City of Globe. Welcome to the first meeting of hopefully many to come. How are you, Al?
Good, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Can't complain. So, what's going on? Tell me all.
Well, I'm glad for the opportunity. I do a monthly report that I put on social media. I put in the paper. I go on one radio station, but I want to extend that more and be able to, for people to, you know, hear it out there.
So yeah, I'm one
really
with listeners, yeah.
You bet. I'll just start with some of my report that I put on. On July 20th, our city council had a public hearing and adopted the final budget for fiscal year 23-24, and that amount was $65,334,122. Now, this amount reflects an increase of approximately $23 million from last year's budget. But the largest increase in this year's budget is the allocation of $21 million that is included for possible unfunded grants for future projects. And Tim was talking, I was listening to his talk, a lot of the money that's being filtered from the federal government, infrastructure money. So we anticipate a lot of that money coming through. And you got to be ready to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have projects ready and manage them. So if we don't put it in our budget and we get a grant, then we won't be able to spend it unless we have it allocated within our budget. So that's the biggest jump, is a $21 million. If this amount, again, like I said, is not including the total budget and a grant is awarded, we would not be able to accept this and spend that grant.
Mm-hmm.
And our general fund operational budget increased from $14,515,359 last year to $18,094,140. So the main increase due to this is including the $2.9 million fund balance carry forward this year that normally is not reflected in the total budget. So we're seeing about a $3 million increase because of the carry forward of our fund balance. This year's budget is even more complex due to all the federal and state, like we just talked about, the funds that are being appropriated to our city for numerous projects. You know, I really want to thank our staff and our financial consultants for their hard work and commitment to bring forward a balanced budget for approval. You know, we've been lately relying quite a bit on financial consultants. We're still looking for a finance director. So if you have anybody out there, we're looking for one, and they're difficult to find because everybody's looking for good finance directors.
So who do they call?
Call City Hall.
Call City Hall, and they'll direct you to a website or whatever.
You bet. And okay. I think it's even advertised on that we are looking for
what's the pay range?
You know, I don't know exactly. I'd have to look at that, what the pay range is. Again, this year's budget reinforces our commitment of our council to the priorities listed in the Strategic Action Plan for the benefit of our city residents. And really, our focus has remained consistent on economic development to provide the necessary funding to continue to grow our city with priorities. Again, that this is community priorities, quality of life, recreational opportunities, housing, and infrastructure. So those are the four main categories. You know, we got to start with infrastructure if we're going to think about economic development.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that began before my tenure, back when I was with the fire department, back in 2014-15. Then Mayor Wheeler and that council started the infrastructure replacement within our city with WIFA loans and everything else.
I remember that so well because that's about the time I was here, and I noticed that their big plan didn't even include the word broadband.
No.
And I got all over them like whites on rice, and I said, you will not have economic development without broadband.
Exactly.
And so hopefully there'll be pressure to bear. The big problem with it when you're talking about an economic development, you'll hear all these ads for we've got gigabit down. Those are download speeds. If you're a business, you care about upload speeds. And in this community, you are not going to get sufficient upload to do many, many, many businesses. So that is a huge problem.
And really, you hit it right on the nail right on the head. Is, you know, we're seeing now after COVID that a lot of people are working
of course,
from their home or so remote, so they could live in Globe, Miami, and still work out of the valley.
Right, but in many cases, depending upon their job, they don't have the upstream necessary to do it comfortably.
Correct.
And for instance, it would also be possible for a call center to come in here, but right now a call center couldn't operate here because they don't have the upstream. So, you know, obviously the local providers are hesitant, in fact, completely reticent on the topic, but that's really what needs to happen.
You bet. And I haven't kept up with that. I know we have one councilman, Freddie Rios, he keeps up with the broadband.
Good.
But it's good to see that they're putting, I guess, fiber optics or in the ground from Superior up to the top of the world, and now they're working from Miami back to the top of the world to connect.
Right.
It.
But if you govern that upstream, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, that pressure needs to be brought to bear. And many municipalities don't understand that, and providers get away with saying, oh, yeah, you've got a gig or 2 gigs download, and then you're seeing you got 35 megs upload. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I'll move on, and I
yes.
just want to talk of some of the projects. I mean, there's so many projects going on right now within the City of Globe, and our Public Works Director, John Angulo, gave a presentation to us on an updated list, and it's amazing what's going on, because we play a key role in each part of them because of management or overseeing these projects. Obviously, our community center pool is complete now.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of around $4.5 million, $5 million.
Is that what you expected?
That's what we...
Okay.
Well, we started very small. I think we remember back in the day before COVID that city went ahead and said, we'll put $1 million, we'll put a square pool up.
Yeah.
But once the stakeholders saw it, they started to jump on board, and we started coming with donations and towards that pool, and it ended up to, I think, $4.5 to $5 million. And that's why we added, that's why all the amazing things were added to that facility.
Yeah, and I understand there's now evening hours.
There is.
That's excellent.
Yes, and yeah, because of school, we lost a lot of our lifeguards. So now they're, I think it's, 6 to 9 or 6 to 8,
yeah.
something like that in the evenings. And then they go back on the weekends to the regular time for that. But it is a heated pool, so we're hoping that we can extend the usage also.
To what do you think will be your cutoff?
We don't know. You know, maybe October, November. We'll see what
okay.
happens. We're hoping, I know the Globe School District is interested, and I think they're going to work towards having a high school swim team now.
Good.
And their season's thing, I think, is September, October. So
good.
They'll be utilizing that pool too, which is great. We've never had a high school swim team in the area.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, the pool was built because of the stakeholders that came, and we had a ribbon cutting last month, a couple of weeks ago, and they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, the thing that stopped, you know, we had the aquatic group that did a lot of work to try and get an aquatic center to
yes.
to the community, but the big holdback was who was going to pay for operation and maintenance,
right.
which is a huge cost on an annual basis. We even went to the legislature. I went down twice to testify 2 different years. They were trying to form a taxation district.
Right.
And there's no way the legislature is going to pass permanent taxation.
Right. No, that was the holdup from the start. I looked at that and I thought, all these unincorporated areas, how do you include that?
Exactly. So what has happened now, the difference is now the City of Globe is committed to those annual maintenance costs,
right.
the operation maintenance. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to include in our budget. And that could be $200,000, $300,000. I don't know what it could be for the future.
But hopefully there'll be some way to offset some of that. For instance, if the schools, the district is having a swim team, then they can pay for the hours they're using the pool.
You bet, yeah. And there's a lot of ways. You know, the Piranha swim team, for the first time, they got to put in 70 to 80 swimmers this year and have competition swimming here, which is great.
Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
It was amazing to see all these cities, these teams from other cities come to our community.
That's a wonderful thing.
You bet. Another project that was is complete now. It was a community center sewer line project, and this was a project to get our city facilities off septic tanks, and mainly this community center swimming pool, all the bathrooms, all anything we owned up there. So that went from there and connected into the sewer line on Jess Hayes
Good.
Road, and that was a $1.5 million project. We were able to plug into pay for some of that under WIFA funds,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't have, some of it didn't have to pay back. But that also gives people that live along that line the opportunity, if they want to hook in also to city sewer, now they have that opportunity to do that.
And that may save their homes, because one of the things that a lot of people don't realize here is that, if, especially if they're on a cesspool, if that fails and they don't have the required space to put in a septic, they won't be able to put in a septic.
You bet.
So by being able to connect to the city line, yeah, there's a monthly charge. It's fairly nominal, but it's there. But that's such a savings in terms of what might happen if your system fails.
You bet. And we're seeing that in the Claypool, Central Heights area. You know, all these homes, we see all these abandoned homes that are now being condemned because they don't, you're right, they don't have the room to put a true septic system. So really, the future is there to somehow get the Tri-City Sanitation District, you know, moving forward, and we really need to get sewer in those areas. And it's for us. It's not in the city, but we care about it.
Well, right.
We do.
Exactly. Yeah. And those lines of demarcation where the city ends, where Claypool begins, or what have you, those are somewhat nebulous in terms of looking at the land. And, you know, TRSD for so many years was an utter joke. Mm. And, you know, I won't even get into the accusations, never mind that. But at this point, they have a board that seems proactive and seems to be really on it, but still, this is not overnight. And
no.
If you're talking about three different phases, which they are, and they have to,
mm-hmm.
if you're in that third phase, you may be looking a decade down the road.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
And if you're you know, playing beat the clock, if you've got a cesspool and that fails, you cannot legally repair that.
No. And you're looking at a cost of $15,000, $20,000 for a temporary fix that may be replaced with sewer line in the future.
Well, will be, right. You're talking about like the above ground systems and all that, which are frightfully expensive and expensive to operate as well, and higher energy costs. And yes, the sewer comes and, you know, it's outdated. So, yeah, the quicker the better on TRSD.
Yeah, and I've kept up with them. I think 2012 when I started following me, you're right. There was really no funding, but when USDA came through and gave them that, $30 million to initiate the project, that mm-hmm. really helped. And,
yeah.
and we hope that they come through, USDA will come through with more funding to offset, because costs have gone up.
Absolutely.
When they gave that.
And I think if it's a legit effort and all the, you know, I's are dotted and T's are crossed, that they will, because we saw that as a model in Miami. They got their sewers, now granted at a price that was probably greater than each resident wanted to pay, but again, that versus losing your house suddenly doesn't seem so pricey.
Exactly. Yeah, you bet. So we hope that helps out, you know, or that comes to fruition in the future there, and you know, within the next couple of years, I hope.
Yes.
Our next project, I'm just going to work my way towards the city, the Connie's Bridge project. Mm. That is a projected completion at the end of this year, 2023. That was a cost of $5 million, and here we go with a cost increase. You know, we were allocated $2.8 million mm-hmm. back before COVID, and then when COVID hit, then we had costs go up and everything, so the cost went from $2.8 million to $5
million.
So now we had to come up with supplemental money to do that, but we were allocated another, from the federal government this year, appropriations for another $600,000, so we actually ended up with $3.4 million, and then we offsetted it with our city funds to be able to get that Connie's Bridge complete.
Good.
And it was one of our major ones that needed. There's a lot of deterioration on the old bridge. As soon as the new one is erected, then the old one will have to come down also.
Well, right. And, you know, we call it Connie's Bridge, but the reality is, who the heck cares about Connie's? Do you think about all the land and the houses beyond that?
You bet.
And people, six shooter or whatever, there's a lot of people affected by this. It's not a bridge to a convenience store.
No, it's not. Because if that was to fail, there is no way out.
Well, that's
because
what I, yes.
Beer Tree Crossing is going to be running water also, so there's no way you're going to be able to get out. So, you know, there's probably, I think they estimated 2,000 traffic going through there with the college and everything on
yes.
a daily basis. So
yes, and so that's why each time I hear somebody say Connie's Bridge, I'm like, no, because it sounds like, well, we're building a bridge for a convenience store. Not hardly.
You bet. And it is... We call it Connie's Bridge, but really the real name is Pinal Creek Bridge.
Right.
So,
right, right.
In the state terms.
Right.
So, you bet. And then I'll go to Veterans Park Playground Equipment. We installed new equipment at our city hall. That was about $100,000. That was completed, and that was funding from BHP Copper.
Ah.
So they were able to allocate money, and we were able to replace our deteriorating equipment that was there.
They're a great stakeholder for us. They really are.
You bet they are, yeah. Our three mines are really, Beach, Copper, Capstone, and Freeport, really huge for us in the
community. We are lucky to have them, and they take the brunt of bad publicity from people who are anti-mining.
You bet.
And our town benefits in ways that most people will never see, but it's there.
Yep, you bet. And then the Veterans Park, you saw where we did some lighting and cement work in there to take away the all the uneven area, so it came out nice, and that was a $140,000 project, and that came from our CDBG funding that we get allocated every 3 years. So we use that money to upgrade the rest of the community or the Veterans Park. We're also waiting on, we're going to put some more benches and some gazebos and some coverage to the playground equipment that's coming also. The same thing with the community center playground equipment. That was a cost of $100,000, and we replaced that, and that was funding through BHP Copper also.
Good.
So that's why all that took place, which was great. Next, I'll move on to the Hill Street School Senior Affordable Housing Project.
Yeah.
And that's projected date at the end of 2024. Man, they're really moving on it.
They are. I saw that today. More movement in the last month than the last decade.
You bet. They did all the abatement. They did, well, the testing, the abatement, and now they're gutting the inside. And it's going to be a 64-unit senior affordable housing. It's a $22 million project. The developer is Gorman Company. And we were very lucky. We worked very hard. Our staff did work with Gorman to get their application in when they did, because if not, it would have had to wait another year.
Oh.
But we had to expedite it through the city, through city council meetings and stuff. So the only way it took place is they needed that 9% tax credit. And that's what they got with it. So it was great. It's great to see that. There'll be another building erected on the opposite, on the Maple side, and then it'll be joined with an elevator, which would be great.
It was funny, when I drove by today, I noticed they finally got rid of all the old windows, which was great, and
you
I thought,
bet.
Ooh, just in time for monsoon season, I hope they're planning to cover them.
Yeah, and that's a lot. I mean, that's a big cost, I'll bet you, just on windows.
No, it's a huge, you're looking at seven figures when you're looking at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, because I remember when that building first went up for sale years ago, it was very cheap, you know, like $100,000 maybe.
Yeah.
And John had said, well, why don't we get that? I said, where are you going to get the $3 million to rehab it?
Yeah.
And so, because it does take that. But yeah, I'm sure they took the storms into account, because they're gonna need to cover those openings.
You bet. And you're right when you talked about, yeah, we can buy the building, but our staff, and this has been going on for years, but a lot of people have come to the table that they wanted to buy it and then do something, but nobody came to the table with money.
Well, and without it,
there's no project without money.
No.
So we were happy to see. We went and visited the construction they did at the Gorman Company in Tempe. They have a lot of these housing projects.
Yes.
They're amazing. They really are.
Yes, I've seen some of that.
It's going to be huge for our community.
And it's right across the street from Nerdburger.
You bet. And they can walk to Safeway. They can get to different places.
Absolutely.
Great.
I'm sure once the application process opens up, there'll be a backlog within a week.
You bet. And they're already calling about it. Some people are already calling.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
When can I get in there?
Yeah,
let
exactly.
me reserve now.
And I didn't go to school there, but I guess they have an inside track. Track in there, and they're not going to take that out, so that's going to be utilized there, and they're going to have like a little workout area,
a gym.
Yeah,
oh, that's wonderful.
Form, which is great. Yeah, they're going to preserve that, so it's great.
Oh, terrific.
The other project that we're excited that we were allocated finally, we've been after this a couple of years. We've been going to the state to try and get it passed by the governor through their budget. But this year, they when Governor Hobbs signed the budget, we got $3.5 million allocated, appropriated from the state funds, and that's going to go towards the Jess Hayes sidewalk project.
Oh.
And it's in the design phase route, so what that's going to do is it's going to put a sidewalk from the new Pinal Creek, Connie's Bridge, all the way to tie into the college. And you saw what they did, the county did with Golden Hill. So similar concept, everything, but it's dangerous. We have a lot of people, kids, are walking that road, and there's no sidewalk,
sure
nothing to really designate where they're at. So
no, it is dangerous. The only thing is, homeowners, get ready for a pod for your mailboxes.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it's coming.
Yeah, but they did an excellent job with their driveways and everything.
Yeah.
But $3.5 million we've been after, and we finally got it. So that's going to take place here. You'll see that project starting here soon. We also were allocated $3.8 million appropriated from state funds, and that it's in the design phase. But we're also going to replace Cottonwood Bridge.
Oh.
And Cottonwood Bridge is another one that needs replacement. It's a very narrow bridge. You know where that one's at, by the train depot, that one in that area. Yeah. So we were allocated $3.8 million to replace that one.
Okay.
The Active Adult Center, we did some outdoor space, laid some cement and stuff like that. I wish it would have went a little further, but costs are so high. It was about a $46,000 project there. And there's going to be more coming, but half of it was a grant, $23,000. $23,000 came from city funds we allocated to make that project happen. The Hill Street, going back to Connie's Bridge,
right.
The Hill Street Sidewalk Project road alignment, that came from Hill Street for Barnett Delaney is all the way down.
Sure.
So we got sidewalks in there, did the road, and then realignment right where the bridge is. We were able to get $1.5 million in appropriation from state funds this year. So that paid for that realignment. So, and then if you've seen downtown, the Michelson Building, downtown center right next to Vita, that's going to be a partnership between the county and the city. We've been working on that. You see they're replacing the roof now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a downtown visitor center. It's going to be a place where entrepreneurs can rent a space and run an office there before they move into a bigger area. But it's going to be something. It's going to be a building that's going to be amazing. Once we get the roof replaced, then we can start on the other part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the roof came from another federal allocation from infrastructure money, $750,000 to get that done.
What's the estimated date of completion?
When we don't know. And that's another one. They have no roof on there, and we're getting the rains. But they got hopefully they'll get it covered up this week.
Lots of strong tarps, yes.
Yeah,
it is a concern because it rains enough, and man, some of the work you've done interior, you got to redo it.
You bet.
Or welcome to mold.
Yep. And that place, that was the biggest drawback, is that there was a lot of water leaks.
Yeah.
In that building there, probably a lot of mold. We did a lot. They did the testing. They did everything. And once we get it covered up, then it'll start the project move forward. And we're waiting for additional funding from that also to help us build it.
Now, in these old buildings, are any of them, is asbestos a problem?
There could be lead, asbestos, just never know. When anything that's built prior to 1970s, you could have that possibility.
And that, I mentioned that not so much for safety, but the remediation
makes it
very costly.
Yes, it does.
Especially the A word, asbestos, it's tremendously expensive. You might say it's overkill, but those are the regulations.
Yep. And you gotta do it. You can't get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah.
So the testing is expensive, but you're looking $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and then the abatement on there, so it's costly.
Right, and the mold's increasingly a problem, as people are noticing if they read their homeowner policies, for instance. Mold is excluded now.
Hmm.
So
then they got a good...
Yes, you do. So bottom line is it's always good to be ahead of the game on that.
You bet. Another project we're working on, Northeast Corridor Water and Sewer Project, it's in the study phase. We want to get sewer and infrastructure all the way to the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have very limited space for growth. So we believe that's our growth area. So once we get infrastructure in there, then we will attract more businesses in that area.
I agree. And there's no, back to broadband again for a moment, there's no broadband out there.
No.
For the most part. And man, you put broadband, you put enough amperage in terms of power going through there and sewers and stuff, that's attractive.
You bet. Yeah. No. And that's our dream.
Yeah. But no, that's a good one.
Yeah. And again, here we go. We were awarded $2.1 million from appropriation from the federal infrastructure funds to complete some of this project right
Good.
Now. So, I think Tim hit it, and I know I keep saying it. There's so much money being given out there that if you don't go after it, they're going to give it to somebody else.
Absolutely. You have to have your ducks in a row, know how to ask for it, know how to answer those questionnaires, of course. But yeah, that land out there is really enticing. I know there was a time there when somebody was going to buy the drive-in movie land and develop that, and I guess that went by the wayside. But that's, that's primo property if they would ever get the services.
Well, it's not gone by the wayside, but it's something that's a future probably project.
So are those individuals still involved?
I can't comment on it right now.
All right, got it. All right, well, very good.
But when I can...
I'll keep my hopes up.
When I can, I will.
All right, excellent.
The McCormick Wash Project, a lot of people don't know this. There's a dam above where Mesquite and Bailey come together up there by the school.
Yes. Upper,
and there's a dam that was built there. Back when they had the copper mines, and so water now is being diverted through a tunnel that goes out to Copper Hills. what's happening now. And we knew, I knew this when I was with the fire department back in 2014-15, so we've been trying to work on it and try and come up with some ideas and studies. So it's in the study phase because it's starting to deteriorate, and if that were to fail, then it would flood North Broad Street all the way down in that area. Yeah, so we were appropriated. Congressman O'Halloran, before he lost his term, he allocated $100,000, and that's what a study costs for that, right, to come forward. And we're looking at millions of dollars, so we're looking at other ways how we're going to fund this through different funds to.
Well, it's interesting. You've got the problem of potentially unleashing water in places where you don't want, mm-hmm, yet we still have, in a lot of Copper Hills, hauled water situations. Yep. And it would be nice if there was ever an infrastructure where individuals wouldn't have to rely on third parties, because we see what's happening with Scottsdale and their disagreements, yep, and it could happen here.
Yep, you bet. Cemetery is another project we're working on. It's in the planning design. We're running out of plots, so we're really looking at more land there and different ways how we can expand our plots, because, you know, they really keep that up, and it's really a nice facility.
It is
nice cemetery.
I agree. Now, what I was wondering, at one point we discovered through Tim that the cemetery that is in Central Heights is abandoned, essentially, that no one owns it. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there was a way to make provisions to do something with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought it was a county.
Right, and they're saying no. Not us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but although they have some funding, there's a group doing work. They're putting up fencing, wrought iron,
yes,
and people are starting to clean that cemetery up, which is nice.
Yes, privately, especially for those Armenian or whatever, individuals who are from certain ethnic groups have taken it upon themselves to say, we will do this, and that's wonderful. But, you know, if there's land, and I don't know how much land is available at that cemetery.
Yeah.
But
it's hard. It looks like it's pretty well landlocked, just like us with ours.
Right, exactly.
But we're really working hard to try and get some more plots there, coming up with some ideas on how we're going to do that.
Yeah, no, it's very nice, because then the only other choice would be along Highway 60, the Mountain View or whatever.
Yeah.
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 We'll just move right along.
Yeah. Then another project we're working on, new fire station. We definitely need a fire station. It's over 100 some years old, deteriorating. It's caught fire twice in the past 10 years. So
not a good look when the fire station catches on fire.
And this last one was pretty, you know, it burned quite a bit in there. A lot of people didn't know that, but it did.
Well,
it was an area that burned and they were lucky. They were lucky that somebody was there. They had received a call and they were able to notice it and catch that. But, you know, it's time to replace it, and it's in the design phase right now. We already purchased the property. We bought the property, the old doctor facility before 3rd and Ash.
Yes.
Then we're going to tear that building down.
Good.
And then we're going to put a two-story fire station there.
Excellent.
To facilitate. And here we go with costs. Before COVID, $6 million to build it.
12 now.
$13 million to build that. So now we've applied through application through USDA and the federal funding. But part of our plan when we raised the 1% sales tax, mm-hmm, was to help pay for this. So we're not going to bond it. We're not going to go after any, mm-hmm, property tax or anything. We're going to be able to pay it through this 1% sales tax. That
Good.
Was part of that idea. That's why we did it. So
good.
So again, these are some of the projects that our city is involved in, you know, and I want to commend our staff again for their work in securing these funds and making these projects possible. We've had to expand our services from economic development. Now we have development services. Now we have a full-time grant writer. You know, we have
Good.
Building inspector, fire inspector. We have, I mean, you got to be ready. I have never, and I worked for the city for 30 years, the amount of activity that's going on now, I've never seen it. You know, in people interest in coming and developers and business people coming in. And again, without this appropriated outside funding, we wouldn't be able to afford all these projects.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. And our staff is very busy managing the different phases of each of these projects. And we're also waiting, when we took our trip to Washington, D.C., we went this year, first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we met with legislators there. So we're on a list for another $15 to $18 million of allocation.
Good.
If we're able to get that through the federal funding, that'll even give us even more projects on there. We also pay for the first time, too. It's our second year. We have lobbyists in Washington. We're lobbying for our city to see, because anything can happen on a day's basis, and they're looking specifically funding that'll be allocated for allocations to our city.
Excellent. I know Hill County's had lobbyists all along, but Globe had not.
And we have never.
It's a real good idea.
You bet.
Because that is where, especially as we go forward, a lot of the money's going to come from federal dollars, because small town America is just dying.
Yep.
And there's no escaping that conclusion. And the only way that we're going to get any hope and any light at the end of the tunnel is with federal dollars in this.
Yep. And we don't know how long it'll last, but it's there now.
Well, take it while you got it.
Yeah, exactly. You take it while you got it, and again, it's just a lot of work. And I feel bad. Some communities don't have the resources to do that, and it makes it tough, because if you don't have the way to manage these projects, or you don't have the way to go after them, then it really hurts, and then you got to depend on other cities, other organizations to do that. So.
Sure. Well, for Globe's sake, I hope nobody else figures it out.
Yeah.
Take all the money.
There you go. Yeah, we'd love that. But yeah. So those are the projects. A little bit of our budget. I also like to throw in First Fridays. I mean, they've been huge for us.
Yes. It's, what's the next one? Obviously, September. What's the theme?
What we got, and this we just met today. We're going to have, with 9/11 coming up, we're going to have our first annual Globe Fire Department 9/11 Memorial Climb.
Okay.
And that's going to start at the courthouse, the Center for the Arts, and it's going to go up down to Pasco Stairs down by the Silver King.
Okay.
And they're going to walk all the 1.3-mile smaller tour with all the stairs. And it's a 1.3 walk, but it equals the amount of steps that these firefighters that lost their lives walked to get to the top of the tower. So it's amazing. So it's the first time, and all the donations to this will go to the National Fallen Firefighters.
Very nice.
So we'll have, it's the first time, we don't know how big it'll get, if at all, but we'll start small, and it's going to be the first one, but it's going to be incorporated with our First Friday event too.
For people who want more information, is there an easy website?
It's on our website in Globe.
Okay.
Yes. It's on our, and I'm sure so, it's been shared already. It was just created at noon. It's already been shared a dozen times, I think. So it's on there. If anybody is looking for information, and anybody can do
so
it.
So this is not Facebook or anything like this. This is your website.
Yeah, this is City Globe website.
GlobeAZ.gov.
And what I would, anybody can do it. So if they want to walk and come and participate, they can do it. There will be firefighters, I would assume, that are going to do it. They'll do it in full turnouts and stuff like that.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, globeaz.gov, and I'll get that. I should have mentioned the phone number. If you want to accost the mayor live and in the flesh, that would be 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. This show will replay on Sunday morning at 8:30 on KJAA on AM 1240 and FM 106.1. Mayor Gomeros will also have a page on KQSS.net, and this will be there in perpetuity. So now, if people are, and a lot of people, I know Tim Humphrey has found this out, they don't call, but then they'll call his office. So with that in mind, how do they get in touch with the mayor?
Yeah, and I give my number, and it's my personal, 928-200-2626. And I get a lot of calls, and people want to be heard.
Absolutely.
And that's why we're elected. If you're elected, then you better be willing to listen to people, good or bad,
Right.
And so I put my number out there. That's my personal number. Okay. They can call me at any time.
We'll get that on the page as well.
You bet.
All right. So will you do this again?
I think so. I think it's important. I'm glad. I'm glad I came and did it, and we'll schedule again.
All right.
It's like I said, I do a monthly report, and I'd like to report on that.
That's
many places.
That's fine. I just want to do it back to back with Tim, so that for our logistics. But other than that, and the next one with Tim is on 9/11, as far as that goes.
On a Monday, 9/11.
So if you can, if it's a date, I'll go ahead and confirm that.
Yeah, so, put it down, and I don't see a problem unless something comes up.
Well, right, of course.
But 9/11 at 6 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, good deal. Well, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, and I appreciate it very much.
Oh, my pleasure. So that's Mayor Al Gomeros.